Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Today on Prime Time, we are expecting that in a couple of days, we could see possibly one of the more significant marriages in the REIT space this year. And on Monday, October 21, unit holders of Ascendas Hospitality Trust and Ascott residents will convene at a meeting to determine whether or not they approve of this union. Well, ahead of the EGM, we're joined in the studio by Mr. Tan Joy Hyang. He's the CEO of Ascendas Hospitality Trust to talk more about what this deal means and how this might shake up the hospitality space in the coming future. Mr. Tan, thank you so much for joining us and good afternoon to you.
Thank you, JP. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. As we know, this is a big move and a big merger between two of the larger trusts in the country. We did hear from your counterpart at Ascott REIT about how difficult this deal was, the sleepless nights they had, the legwork they did to do this, to make this happen. Actually, can you talk to us from your side at Ascendas exactly how much work went into making this combination happen?
Yeah, so since the beginning of the announcement, 3rd of July to today, I think both sides of the managers have approached all our unit holders, investors, both from the institutional side of things and also the retail investors, trying to explain to them the merits of the transaction. And we are very, very happy to get positive feedback. At the same time, we are able to communicate to them this merit, and they do appreciate the value proposition. And I think we are looking forward to 21st of August, where we will convene the EGM and also the scheme meeting. And we're looking forward to all the unit holders participating and to vote positively for the transaction.
So humor me, Mr. Tan, and pretend I'm one of the unit holders at the moment. Can you outline for me the expected benefits of this, should I say accept the offer, in terms of, say, what kind of distributions I might see in the future, what kind of upside, what kind of expansion in terms of potential income coming to me, and also just the prospects of this behemoth, if I can call it that. If I'm not mistaken, it's going to be the largest hospitality trust in Asia, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right. Sure, JP. Right, I think for a start, I think the offer price of $1.08 is something that we're very, very pleased on behalf of the unit holders. 5% will be offered in cash and the 95% of it will be in units. So what does that translate to? That basically translates into almost 7% premium above our NAV as of 30th March 2019. And in terms of the last 12 months, the volume with the average, this almost above 30%. And against the IPO, it's almost 23.5%. So indeed, we have created value for unit holders, and clearly this value creation is also translated into a DPS, the distribution payout to unit holders on the pro forma basis. This is accretive, and it's almost 1.5% accretive for the unit holders pro forma basis. And in terms of NAV, this transaction, this coming together, this combination business is neutral. So we did not erode any value for the unit holders. So that's number one benefit. Second benefit, I think this combination also does bring about a more diversified portfolio across geographic basis. So that geographic coverage for hotels is important. And what we can see, the end result of this coming together is that there will not be a single market more than 20% of the property value. In terms of a single property exposure, you will not get 7% in terms of the whole portfolio value. And this is important to ensure that if there's anything happen to a single property, it's only 7% exposure. So that's second benefit. The third benefit, I think that's also equally important, is that where we are today, Ascendas Hospitality Trust, our headroom is only about $400 million, but coming together, we have $1 billion worth of headroom, meaning in terms of debt, we can do quite a fair bit of things, both from organic and inorganic growth perspective, and that's important to investors. It means that your dividend will come in stronger in the days to come. So we can buy things at a faster speed. We can do more accretive acquisition. We have more debt headroom, means I can do more conversion projects. I can do a little bit more asset enhancement to my hotel. Sometimes as a smaller player, I'm unable to do it because it's a little bit more disruptive. So that is third benefit. The fourth benefit is important. It's the sense that coming together, we would then be the largest, like you rightly pointed out, in terms of the hospitality trust in Asia Pac will be the number 8 in the world. So what does that mean to unit holders? Effectively, if we can get this stock into the NAREIT developed index, this would then allow us potentially to be re-rated. We would have more liquidity. We would have more investor analyst coverage. And what does that mean? Liquidity means your stock price potentially would go up. So definitely the upside for unit holder is tremendous. And lastly, that is the fifth benefit. I would say that coming together, we do have a strong sponsor, Ascott, meaning that they can bring in more potential pipeline of service apartment and hotels into the trust in the days to come. So all said, these are five benefits that unit holders can look forward. Apart from getting that 5% cash, they can also continue to enjoy the clean-out distribution from 1st of April this year to the end of completion, end of the year.
All right, so here's my next question, Mr. Tan. What happens to management once this marriage happens? I mean, basically, we do know that you're going to be combining, but who's going to be calling the shots at the new entity? Because unlike a marriage, it seems that one is probably going to be more dominant than the other. Can you tell us how this shakes up the management team if the combination is achieved after Monday?
So CapitaLand and its group, Ascott, and ART, Ascott Resident Trust, would definitely be three entities that our resources will be piped into, will be deployed into. So I think all the management and our staff would be either into the ART, into the Ascott, or into CapitaLand. But clearly, the existing REIT manager CEO from Ascott side will continue to look after the combination post the transaction. So I think that's how the things will be arranged.
Okay. We're still speaking to Mr. Tan Jue-hyang. He's the CEO of Ascendas Hospitality Trust. Days before the EGM, where unit holders may or may not approve of the merger between Ascott Residence and Ascendas Hospitality Trust. Mr. Tan, I want to talk now about some of the trends in the industry. You are creating one of the largest hospitality trusts in the world. But do you think this is going to put more pressure on hospitality REITs around the world to pursue mergers like what you and Ascott are trying to accomplish? I mean, as you know, perhaps some of your rivals in the space might not take this lying down given how big this deal might actually be. Is this something that you guys are expecting and maybe preparing for as well?
Well, I think if you look at the trend in S-REIT space, recently you would notice that there are two transactions that coming together to form a larger REIT. So size is important, scale is important. For those reasons I just pointed out, potentially you become an index stock, you get a re-rating, you get more coverage, you get more liquidity. So clearly coming together, it's really a plus. And whether this trend will continue, I would think yes. The important thing of coming together is what are both parties bringing to the table. Here, I think we are bringing quite good combination of strength coming here together. As a result, you will see that the portfolio has a coverage about 70% in Asia Pac, where the strong travel businesses and leisure accommodation would be, and then the other 30% in Europe and US. So there's strong growth in there for us to come together. That coverage is really important.
Now, whether or not other REITs start to merge, there has been a trend in the REIT space recently. A lot of REITs have been very aggressive in acquiring more properties, perhaps either to widen their distribution base, and mainly because there are expectations that lower interest rates are going to come in the future. However, some have pointed out that this might actually lead to some unnecessary risk-taking from some of the property managers and property developers out there because of these aggressive moves. Do you think that that is the case? Do you think that there might be excess risk out there that's being taken on by REIT managers as they try to improve yields and returns in this lower rate environment?
As a REIT manager, I would like to think that we are very much level-headed in terms of acquisition. Of course, having said that, the low-risk environment, the low-interest rate environment does give a lot of opportunity for us to look at opportunities, both onshore and offshore. So clearly, there would be a risk appetite to look at asset overseas where the interest rate environment is slightly lower. But all said and done, I think what is important is that any acquisition that the manager pursue has to be adding on value to the unit holders. And that's something that we as REIT manager will continue to govern and continue to be very disciplined. We do not believe that by growing for the sake of growing means anything. It has to add on value, create, be very accretive to unit holders. So the end of the day, the trust would then, by its track record, will continue to grow and strength add on strength, profit add on profit. So that's something that we continue to be watchful and mindful.
Do you think that a possible economic slowdown, though, Mr. Tan, could impact the income outlook of this proposed merger? We did hear yesterday from Prime Minister Lee, who said that we'd be lucky if the economy records some positive growth. Is this something you guys are wary of or perhaps trying to prepare for as a potential threat to a future income post-merger?
Yeah, we do acknowledge that there is a global understanding and or at least an acknowledgement that there will be some slowdown. But looking at where the numbers are, we think that by 2025, this industry in terms of accommodation and travel is almost $11 trillion. And out of this $11 trillion, it's estimated two-thirds will come from Asia-Pac. And clearly, we're in a good position to tap on this opportunity. So my sense is that while there is softness, but I think at the same time, we do see opportunity coming up from that softness. For example, I think Japan is looking strong in terms of accommodation. They'll continue to look at inbound from where they are, 30 million above. Never see this number in the past and continue to go up. Their target is to hit 40 million. While China, the outbound seems to be a little bit slower, but it's still a huge number. The domestic travel within China is still growing very, very strong. Same in Australia. So I think in those countries that we are represented, I think we continue to be very positive.
And just very quickly before I let you go, Mr. Tan, you've had a busy day. Those Chinese outbound tourism numbers, we know they're one of the biggest, if not the biggest, drivers in terms of tourism, the global tourism industry. But we've seen it slow down, partly because of slowdown fears in China and also that weaker Chinese yuan. Is this something that the proposed combined entity will need to worry about moving forward as well?
I don't think so. I would say that the outbound that most of the research paper put an estimate close to about 150 to 180 million, which is still a very big number. Even if there's a slowdown, it is still a huge number to grapple with. Look at where Singapore is. Our Chinese inbound is about 3.4. Against Australia, it's only like 1.2. So clearly, there's a lot of upside where we are invested in Australia. And post-combination, Australia is only 17% exposure. So I think from a diversification standpoint, I think we are quite well balanced. We do not see any of this slowdown will have an impact on us. In fact, I would like to believe that we are more resilient in our earn-outs.
All right. Just to remind our listeners, Monday, October 21 at 11 a.m. is the EGM where we will vote or not vote on the proposed merger of Ascendas Hospitality Trust and Ascott residents. Mr. Tan Jui-hyang, the CEO of Ascendas Hospitality Trust, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Primetime.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and Primetime replay from Money FM 89.3. Risk tolerant. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.